Today is July 6th, 2017, the 12th day of Tammuz, Tafshinayin Zayin. We are up to the last day, Musar Day of Perek Lamed Beis, and discuss two issues. Maybe we can figure out a way to get them to be together. But two issues that come up over the course of this very famous, very prominent Perek. So one of them is the... The Gemara makes a statement, Yevamos, Daf Samach Beis Amar Aleph, that there are a couple of things that Moshe did, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed. That the Gemara tells us, Shlosh Dvarim Asa Moshe Midaito, V'Yiski Midaito L'Das HaMachum. There are three things that Moshe did, and Hashem agreed. The one is Perish Mina Yisha, he separated from his wife, V'Shiber HaLuchos, he broke the Luchos, which of course is in our parak, V'Hosef Yom Echad, and he added one day. So, Perish Mina Isha, so Moshe separated from his wife. So how did he figure that out? The Gemara tells you how he figured it out. Then the Gemara asks, where'd it go? Then the Gemara asks, how did he know that, there it is. So breaking the Luchos, my darsh, how did he figure out that he was supposed to break the Luchos? How did he know? So Amar, so Moshe figured out the following. He says, Uma Pesach shehu echad mishish me'os v'shalosh esri mitzvos. That Pesach is only one of 613 mitzvos. So Amar Torah, the Torah says, Kol ben Necher lo yochal bo. The Torah says that nobody who is a ben Necher, who is a ben Necher, somebody who's not Jewish, really, but Kol ben Necher lo yochal bo, shouldn't eat it, but Bnei Yisrael is acting now in a way that's not right. Kol ben Necher lo yochal bo. So Torah, Kol Torah kulo. Somebody, if you're violating the entire Torah, Yisrael mumrim al achas kam v'kama. So Moshe now is bringing down the entire Torah, and Yisrael is currently rebelling. So how much more so should a Kaddish Baruch Hu, how much more so should we know that should... Maybe over there, yeah. So here we have... Okay. So here we have a scenario where if only one mitzvah, B'nai Yisrael, Moshe wasn't going to take if they weren't Jewish. So you have the entire Torah now, and B'nai Yisrael is acting in an inappropriate way. B'nai Yisrael is in the middle of a rebellion. So how much more so should B'nai Yisrael not be able to accept it? And therefore Moshe saw to it to break the Luchos. The Gemara comments, by the way, how do we know? How do we know that Hashem said it was okay? The common the schema daito l'das hamakom d'chsiv asher shibarta that the pasuk says that which you broke v'amar reish lakish amar le'akadosh baruch hu l'moshe yasher koach she shibarta that yasher koach he did a good job that you broke the luchos. So Moshe is okay. Moshe, you know, he did the right thing by breaking these luchos. There is just on the side in this gemara, we mentioned this on Shavuos in Shul, that there is a comment on this gemara. That again, three things that Moshe figured out on by himself. One is that he broke the Luchos. He added a day to Bnei Yisrael's preparations before getting Har Sinai. And number three is that he separated from his wife. So why were those three things necessary for Moshe to add by himself? So is a comment by I forget the name, Rabbi Horowitz, who it appears someplace in the back of the Gemara. If you have the fancier Gemara, so he appears... I can probably find it right now. One of the people in the back here, I forget which one, I've got to find you can look for it, but makes the comment that all of these three things are unique in that Hashem gave a commandment and Hashem knows the resolution, and it's because of human frailty. It's because of human... what just happened to my thing here?
We're having trouble with that computer. What, did you lose the video? Or something? Yeah, that's been going on and off.
Okay. So it's because of human... non-perfection that these things had to be to. So if you go through all three of those, why did Moshe have to separate from his wife? So Moshe had to separate from his wife because he was concerned that he would be in the middle of having relations with his wife and Hashem could appear to Moshe at any moment. So Hashem could tap Moshe on the shoulder, you know, I've been waiting for you. Moshe would have, you know, that would be inappropriate. So therefore Moshe separated from his wife because of the concern that Hashem could come at any time. So says Rabbi Horowitz, who appears in the back of the Gemara in Yevamos, says, well, Hashem is in control, meaning Hashem knows when he's going to show up. So it's only because of Moshe, it's only because Moshe didn't know that that was required. Similar to the breaking of the Luchos. Now, why did Moshe feel the need to break the Luchos? Because he said, I need to break the Luchos in order to get Bnei Israel's attention in order for them to do tshuva. Now, Hashem didn't have to give him those instructions. Hashem could have, you know, Hashem knows that Bnei Israel will do tshuva, perhaps. Bnei Israel will do tshuva without Moshe breaking the Luchos. So the fact that Moshe had to do that was because he just, a human doesn't know what is going to be necessary in order to impose his right amount of discipline. And a similar thing with adding a day. Moshe added a day. Why? Because of a concern that that the semen would still be active in the women, so therefore the men and women had to separate for long enough. But again, that's only a concern because he didn't know. It doesn't necessarily take that long. So Hashem knows that it's not going to take that long, but it's because of human imperfection, human not knowing these things, that Moshe had to add a day. So all of those things, they all revolve around Matan Torah. They all revolve around the giving of the Torah. So it's interesting. At the moment of giving the Torah, there also is a recognition that a human being is not necessarily able to fully somebody has to take extra precautions because of human nature.
You're saying human nature, what? You're saying very specific human nature. They can't see the future.
Hashem knows certain things that we don't know. Yeah.
More the future is.
Not necessarily in that case, not necessarily the future.
More general,
then. Not all the future. It's also psychology. I mean, is Moshe going to be able to impose just the right amount of discipline that Bnei Yisrael is going to be able to repent, Bnei Yisrael is going to do tshuva for their sin of the golden calf without him having to break the Luchos?
So he doesn't know. So the rabbi said a getter.
Sometimes, but in that particular case, the rabbis didn't get together and set a gedder about when it is that one should break the Luchos, right? Uh-huh. So Moshe figured it out to himself that I think this will help. Did he make the right call? I don't know, but Hashem told him, good idea. Hashem told him it was okay, you know, it was good that you did it, because Bnei Yisrael was then able to repent. But it's possible.
We have the evidence that Hashem said before.
Hashem didn't tell him to do it beforehand. No, the Gemara is telling us that Moshe did it on his own.
Right.
And after the fact, Hashem said, Yashar Koach. Good thing that you did it.
I'm distracted. Moshe hit the rock. That was his own.
He was wrong.
Thing he did. Right?
Yeah.
Then we don't know when it comes to Pinchas before at the time. I think Balak, Pinchas goes up and he says, you do it. I don't know. Those are both unique examples.
Moshe didn't tell Pinchas what to do because he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what the right answer was.
Right.
There is a din, but anyway, beyond that, it's the kind of halacha that if you ask first, maybe you shouldn't be doing it. And there's details there, but that doesn't really fit. That wasn't the halacha that he came up with on his own. Here, these are things that he intuited on his own. Because of the human condition, Hashem didn't command it, but we're humans, we're not Hashem, and therefore we have to do the following things.
Okay.
That's what these three are all examples of. So there is a comment So what exactly did the Gemara say? The Gemara said three things Moshe did on his own, and Hashem agreed. And how did he figure out breaking the Luchos? Well, he figured out a Kal V'chomer, that just as Pesach is one of the 613 mitzvos, and yet is only one, and yet Bnei Yisrael can't do it if they're not in accordance with, if they don't believe in Hashem. Mm-hmm. So all 613 mitzvos obviously shouldn't be accepted unless they're unless Bnei Yisrael is demonstrating a belief in Hashem. Right, Sam? We're good? So asks the Maharsha in the back of this Gemara the following question. He says, I don't understand. What exactly were we saying here? The issue is Avodah Zarah. Notwithstanding the Ramban, we learned last week that there are two esbeh, that there are two sins going on. Notwithstanding that idea. What is the sin of the Chita Egel? It is Avodah Zarah, right? So the Gemara seems to be implying that Moshe is making a technical technical equation here, right? That that certainly if they can't accept the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach, for if they're violating Avodah Zarah, certainly they can't accept all 613 mitzvahs if they're violating Avodah Zarah. Right? We good so far? Okay. Question. When did Moshe find out that they were violating Avodah Zarah?
Upstairs.
Right? Hashem turned to Moshe and said, Lech Reid, you should go down because B'nai Yisrael is doing Avodah Zarah. So if this was a correct halachic analysis that Moshe did, so why did Moshe wait till he got down, saw what was going on, and then broke the luchos? If he was making a correct assumption here, he should break it right away. Right? Hashem tells B'nai, the equation is, if B'nai Yisrael is doing Avodah Zarah, certainly they shouldn't be able to get, he shouldn't be able to get all 613 mitzvahs. Hashem says to Moshe, you gotta go down plus B'nai Yisrael is doing Avodah Zarah. Yeah. So what does Moshe do? He takes the luchos and goes down. Why didn't Moshe say, oh, wait a second, there's a Gemara in Yevamos that says I'm supposed to smash the luchos under those circumstances. So he should have smashed the luchos right away. But why didn't he wait to get down? It's not about getting their attention.
Well,
according to the way this Gemara is laying itself out, it's not about getting their attention. It's about a halachic equation. The halachic equation is, if B'nai Yisrael is doing Avodah Zarah, they can't get the Torah. That calls for me destroying the 613
right
mitzvahs.
There. Yeah. Right at that point.
Right.
Not when he comes
it's
down
a halachic statement.
In front of them.
It's a halachic analysis. It's not a Zriza Makdim in the mitzvahs. Let's take care of it right away. Why is he waiting to get down in order to break it first? Had 10, but as representative. The Gemara used the terminology all 613. We've mentioned when we learned the 10 commandments, I think we talked about how the ramifications of all 613 mitzvahs being represented within those 10 mitzvahs. So that's, we don't have to draw questions on that. I mean, I think we're good with that.
One, he hears it. Second, he
sees
it himself.
Ah, very good. So says Rav Yosef Albo in the Sefer Ikarim. He quoted you, I think.
I haven't.
He quoted you. Or maybe you're a Gilgal. Who knows?
It could be.
Could be. So he says the following thing. He says, Eino daima shmiya kiriya. He doesn't say that exactly. The Gemara, another place, makes that case. That there's nothing no way to compare hearing about something to actually seeing it for yourself. But
you're
going to
trust your eyes over
us. Hold on a second. We'll get there. So it says the Sefer Ikarim, the idea. It's really, he's quoting from the Marsha himself, who quotes this Medrash. Shalosh Shibron ad Shira Be'inav. That Moshe didn't break it until he saw with his own eyes. That's what the Medrash says. So what does it mean that he needed to wait and see with his own eyes? So
Hashem's word wasn't enough for him.
Right. So the immediate reaction is like, well, it's one thing to hear something, but to go, the idea of Hashem, we'll hold off about Hashem's word not being enough. That's the other approach. We want to talk about that. But just in terms of that statement itself, Moshe didn't, until you see it for yourself, you can't understand. The only problem with that is that's not what the Gemara says. Right? The Avery Karim is saying, well, because Moshe saw this, he was so amazed at what he saw, he couldn't believe it, that B'nai Yisrael is doing this thing, that caused him to break the luchos. That's great, except that's not what the Gemara said. The Gemara said Moshe broke the luchos because he had this halachic equation that was going on here. So what do you do with the Gemara? So Rav Henoch Leibowitz in the Chiddush Aleiv explains. He says no. He says technically it's one mitzvah. Technically, the idea of the Avodah Zarah is one thing. It's only seeing it that then you realize that this really represents the entire Torah. I mean, I understand kol ben necher lo yochal, though, that's with regards to the... But that's not really talking about somebody who's violating Avodah Zarah. That's talking about a guy. That's talking about somebody who's not Jewish. Right? So not Jewish maybe equals somebody who's violating Avodah Zarah. But it doesn't exactly mean that. Right? It's only when you go and see it and say, these people are acting like Goyim. These people are acting like non-Jews. Therefore, they have the same equivalence. And therefore, they're going to get all six... therefore, you can make the equation at that point. That's the perhaps the approach of the Sefer HaYikara. Hashem tells him, they're violating distance. Moshe says, okay. So, let's say they're violating Avodah Zarah. It's therefore I'm going to smash the luchos, of course, they're violating Avodah Zarah. What if they were violating Shatnez? Hashem taps on the shoulder and says, listen, you know, there's a problem down there. They seem to have this desire to mix wool and linen together. So would you say, break the lukos? No. Right? Okay, we'll work on that. We'll take care of that. So maybe Moshe could say the same thing with Avodah Zarah. Okay, the idea that what Moshe was learning from is this mitzvah having to do with Korban Pesach, that a non-Jew can't eat the Korban Pesach. Kol ben necher lo yochavo. A non-Jew's not allowed to use it. So Moshe says, yeah, that's talking about a non-Jew. These are Jewish people. There's Jewish people that happen to be sinning. So I'll go and take care of the sin. When he goes and sees what the sin looks like, so then he realizes, no, this is not just a sin. This isn't just, showing up late for davening. This requires much worse. The idea of a avodah zarah is representative of somebody denying the entire Torah. That idea is true, as we even spoke about this the other day, that that even if sometimes one can violate some of the big three, immorality, in order to save Klal Yisrael under certain unique circumstances, that would never apply to Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah represents everything. So that's what Moshe needed to see in order to understand.
How do you explain away Pasuk 19, where it says Moshe went down, they saw him advancing, that Moshe's anger flared up?
Yeah.
Saying that he emotionally got angry.
I understand.
And from the anger, he smashed down.
Right. So the Gemara. So you mean you're upset that Moshe is angry, and anger is never a good thing.
I'm thinking that he has a tendency to get angry. He's done it several times.
Right. So that's why the Gemara needs to say that under these.
Right here, Moses got
angry. So that's why the Gemara needs to have an answer, right? So what one could say and say Moshe shouldn't have done it. Why did Moshe break the law? Because he got angry. Well, you're not supposed to get angry. That's another example of Moshe flying off the handle, which he's never supposed to do. And his wife warned him about this. So the Gemara is coming and telling you, he says, yes, it's true. Moshe does get angry, and we had the example in last week's parsha, Parshas Chukas. Moshe got angry. Yes, that's true. But this is not an example of Moshe. Getting angry to his detriment. Here, Moshe did the right thing. So now you just have to understand, okay, what was his cheshbon, what was his analysis in getting to the right answer? And that perhaps is his approach. Oh gosh, I got a lot more to say. Okay, the other thing, the Maharsha himself gives a different answer. The Maharsha's answer is that, and he's really basing himself off a medrash here, is that why did Moshe not break the luchos right away? So the Medrash says, specifically, Shlo Shibran Ad Shara Be'enav, Elahem Livnei Adam Shemi Idem Asha'inim Rom. Right? Woe to those people who testify for that which they haven't seen. Okay, that's interesting. Comes the Maharsha and says a little bit more than that. The Maharsha says that the halacha is that you're not allowed to accept Lashon Hara. You're not allowed to accept evidence from one aid. If one witness comes and tells you something, so you're not allowed to believe it. So Moshe had to go and see it in order to break the luchos.
Because Hashem's word was
So Sam is clearly startled by this. Well, what do you mean?
I'm not too crazy about it either.
Right? But he's startled by beyond words. He can't even raise the question. How could that be? Hashem tells you something, you're not allowed to believe it? So the Maharsha softens it a little bit. This was to teach the halacha to Bnei Yisrael that just because one person tells you something doesn't mean you're allowed to go ahead and believe it.
One God tells us.
One God goes and tells it to you. So that's where Rav Henoch Leibowitz takes over and says, right, and that just helps you to teach the halacha.
Okay.
That assists you in teaching the halacha. So yes, it's true. Moshe does reserve the right to believe God. Yes, that's true. Right? Hashem gave him the entire Torah. Moshe reserves the right to believe Hashem when he tells him those things. But to teach Bnei Yisrael the halacha, right? This was a great opportunity to teach that din. Just because one person tells you that somebody else is doing something wrong, don't believe him until you ascertain it yourself.
So teaching moment is when he sees everything.
Very good.
And
right. The teaching moment is that Moshe didn't break the luchos until he saw it himself. Right? Not because he didn't believe Hashem, and not because he didn't have the halacha and Alice do, but he was able to use it as a teaching moment for this particular halacha. The halacha that says that just because one person comes and tells you something, you're not allowed to believe him, which also is one person's not allowed to go to Basin and just pronounce things about another person in Basin, because it's not going to be an impact about it.
How does that teach the Israelis? They didn't know.
No, but it,
that's related. Because a couple of weeks later, they got up to Daf Samach Beis and Daf Yomi, right, in Yavamos, and they learned the halacha.
This happened on the 17th day of Tammuz, which is the 3 weeks where we're doing green speech.
Very good. That's right. It was the beginning. It was the first green speech campaign.
It's the first green speech campaign.
The first green speech campaign. Right, so that is his, and then Rav Hanna Chlibetz goes on to say, you see how important it is that even when so many emotions go on, it's important to teach halachos, it's important that people learn, it's important to have the right frame of mind, that everything falls into halacha, etc. So that is how he explains that Gemara in Yavamos. All right, I share one more thought. Read through this chapter for the first time. I reviewed it today, but read through this chapter for the first time last night in the hospital. Rav Soloveitchik has a piece entitled Two Motivations for Sin. And it says something, it's startling. Bruce is going to like this one. That what was the sin of Adam HaRishon? Right? If you think of two great sins that really changed the course of history. So one is obviously the sin of Adam HaRishon, and the other one is here, the sin of the Chet HaEgel.
Death into the world, that's a key thing.
What? That is a consequence. What was Adam's chet? What was his character flaw that caused him to sin with the beginning? So we learned all the way in the beginning of last year when we learned the first couple of prakim in the book of Bereishis. So we talked a lot about the sin of Adam HaRishon. What was the sin of Adam HaRishon? It was a competition with God. Right? And we went through the whole analysis then that the name of God appears in Perek Aleph, always appears as Elohim, and then Perek Beis always appears as Hashem Elohim, and then possess the world in perfection, and then in Perek Gimel, Hashem goes back to being called Elohim by the Nachash. The snake invokes Hashem in that name. What does that name represent? So the name Yudke Vavke represents of God's presence, that God is connected to us, that we have a neshama within us. That's all the name of Yudke Vavke. The name of Elohim is that God is the king, God is the judge, God is distant, and we are here. God is infinite, we are infinitesimal. Right? God is all-knowing, we are all stupid. Right? Those are that is the representative of the name Elohim. So what was the Nachash trying to goad Adam with? That Adam, you are in competition with God. You can be, in theory, you could be as great as God if only you eat this fruit. All right, God has this over you. If you just do this, so then you're going to be able to be as great as God.
You're saying
so what is
to keep you subservient by your stupid.
Right, that is the challenge of the Yetzirah of Bereishis. Right. That God is just using, holding this tree over you to maintain your subservience, maintain His. But if you just eat it, so then you'll be okay. You'll be able to compete with God. So what is the character issue going on there? The character issue is really one of arrogance. It's really one of, I'm man, I'm great, I'm the one man in the entire world, I'm a creation of God, and I have the ability to be like God if I just get to that point. That is the, right, it's the same sin that would, I don't know, allow a governor to sit out on a beach when he's closed down the rest of them in the state, right? That would be the character flaw represented in Adam HaRishon by sin.